Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Chase, when we started this podcast, I did not know that we were going to be spending 20 minutes on wiping assholes. I apologize. I apologize.
I am Dr. Drew, and this is Dr. Drew After Dark. Please be advised that Dr. Drew After Dark may contain sexually oriented content and be unsuitable for young children.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Dr. After Dark. Phone number 818-253-1693. And of course, keep the email coming. I will get to these today. It is drafterdark@gmail.com. And do not forget merchandise, store.ymhstudio.com. Lots of great purchases of the mug, guys. Put the mug up there. The Rational Revolution mug is really having its day. People are sending me pictures of them holding the mug. There it is. I will explain to my guest in a minute what these t-shirts are all about. That's not what I wanted you to show necessarily to a newcomer to this show, but good times. So our newcomer is Chase. Chase, what's your last name? I don't even know your last name.
O'Donnell.
Chase O'Donnell, who is someone who Christina P. admires tremendously, and you open for her on the road. Is that true?
I do. I'm on tour with her.
And she has nothing but glowing things to say about you. So my position is, any friend of Christina's, a friend of mine, be part of the Rational Revolution. Let's bring Chase on in here and thump on her a little bit.
Oh, my God. And I'm honored to be here.
It's a privilege.
This is a big deal for me.
And you kind of grew up in this area, right?
I did. I grew up just down the street. Yeah.
Crazy. And did you used to listen to the Loveline back in the day? Was that sort of your, or were you too young for that even?
I believe I was too young for it, but I've heard it.
Heard of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that, let me just frame this for you. Originally we started doing this show. Christina was like, she wanted me to do a show where I talked to comedians, right?
Yeah.
She wasn't, later she came to be a part of this thing. But at the beginning it was, this is what she would say to me. Okay. She'd say, I have a fascination with comedians' minds. They're all fucked up. Find out what's going on with all of them. And so we did a lot of like interviews and finding out what's in. And so lo and behold, a lot of trauma and addiction
stuff
is in the background for a lot. Not everybody, but for a lot of people. So your story, we're going to have to tell your story if you're comfortable.
Sure.
So go ahead.
Okay. Wow. I don't know. I'm sure I have so much trauma, but I'm working it out in therapy. I don't know.
You're disconnected from it.
Yeah, it's down there. Not much addiction.
Is your therapist saying trauma?
I just started therapy in January.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And she's a great therapist. And a lot's coming out and I'm like, oh, I kind of have a lot of issues because of my childhood. I didn't even know. I thought I had the best childhood ever.
What?
So I get why therapy is good for you. I think my thing is I have so much anxiety. I'm just like all day, every day. It's just underlying.
Well, you know, women have a lot of anxiety compared to men, right?
Yeah. Okay,
yes. There's a lot of really, it makes my heart hurt when I think about what women do to themselves. You know, inventory and blaming and figuring out what my role was. And men do very little of that. We can have anxiety, but it's not because we're doing scrolling through stuff in our head about what we did or didn't do.
Oh, yeah.
While women do a lot of that.
So it's just our genetic.
It's your setup. Yeah, your setup. So you have to be good to yourself. You know, so a lot of that stuff about being kind to yourself and not blaming yourself and not, and realizing a lot of, if you're doing all that internalizing, it's the opposite of what people with personality disorders do, right? They locate everything outside of themselves out there in the world.
Uh-huh.
And you locating everything inside yourself and you're blaming yourself and guilting yourself and shaming yourself.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So you actually have to do the opposite. You have to kind of look out in the world for the source of these things. It's not always you. It's a great thing to do that. It's always good to do inventories on yourself because that's the only thing you can change.
Yeah.
But when it gets to the point you're beating yourself up, not so much.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning.
Yeah.
So you got to take bubble baths and
if that's what does it for you. I'm not sure that would work for me, but yes, if that's what works for you.
Okay.
But still though, anxiety also can be kind of an emotional disconnect. Like when I went to therapy I had lots of anxiety. I had panic attacks, all kinds of great stuff.
Oh yeah, I've had those.
Good, they're good times, right? Yeah. Those are fun.
I went to the health center at, this was during college.
Where were you in college?
UC Santa Barbara. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I said, I'm having a heart attack. Mm-hmm. And then they said,
and they
no.
looked at you and said, honey.
They said, it's an anxiety attack.
Doesn't happen to 19-year-old females.
And they gave me a paper on anxiety yeah. attack. And that leads me to my next thing is, I'm a closeted hypochondriac. I don't talk about it much because I find people are annoyed.
Oh, I'm used to it. So please have at it. Now's the...
I mean, I hear anything. And go ahead. Oh, that's me. Well,
have at it.
I just got the...
I know you've got a million questions.
I got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. They say, you know,
worst
they paused
thing for
it.
Worst thing.
I mean, I've been having headaches and I'm like, well.
So let me tell you my Johnson & Johnson story.
Okay.
So I don't need a vaccine. I had COVID and right. I'm measuring my antibodies on a regular basis. They are off. I'm one of these people in the 30% category that has persistent off the chain antibodies. But I told you I was learning Greek before the mic heated up because we're going to Greece in about a couple months. We're going for our 30th wedding anniversary. We're going to Greece. And I have had long hauler syndromes. I've had a lot of neurological stuff. And I was like, I got to get my brain back in gear. I'm going to learn a new language. I'm going to learn Greek to go to Greece. And it really, really, really helped me. It really was kind of interesting. And now I'm into it. Now I'm learning Greek, apharisto. So my point being...
It helps with the antibodies.
The point being that to do the international travel... I had to take a vaccine.
Okay? Got it. Okay.
And I react to everything viral, everything vaccine. I get shitty reactions to everything. So I thought, I'm going to have a reaction. So I only want to do this once. So I'll get Johnson & Johnson. And I don't really need it anyway. If I had a choice, I'd probably take Pfizer because the data's in on that and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'll take Johnson & Johnson because it's an old platform. And it's an attenuated adenovirus that's altered its DNA to be able to give you the spike protein, like a flu shot. It's much like a flu shot.
Yes.
And I thought, come on. So, and it's one time. And lo and behold, I had a reaction.
You did?
Oh, did I have a reaction? I was sick. In fact, I came in here and did a couple shows. Do you remember, did I complain about it when I was here?
You were, but you were also firing on all cylinders. It's the most lucid I'd ever seen you. I'd say you should have a vaccine before every
show,
Drew.
Thank you. These are my friends, ladies and gentlemen, my friends in control room. But I went home and went to bed, just so you know. It was not, I pushed through, just so you're clear on it.
No, you're a real pro.
So I was sick the next day too. And I woke up, and you can't see this really yet, but because I put makeup on it. Can you see this?
Oh, a little black and blue?
Not a little black and blue. If I took the makeup off, it looks like somebody punched me in the eye.
Wow.
And we're going to co-hypochondria together. You ready?
I didn't even know that was something that could happen.
Well, the dreaded complication of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine is platelet aggregation through probably something called a phospholipid syndrome, antiphospholipid antibodies. Complicated biology. Your platelets clump. You tend to clot and bleed. It's both things at once.
Oh,
and
gosh.
The dreaded... Well, how long ago was your vaccine?
It was a month ago.
You're done.
I'm out.
But the dreaded complication is a clot in the transverse sinus of your skull. And one of the rare presenting features is... spontaneous black eye. So I wake up with that in the morning. I'm like, oh, and that was the day they stopped the vaccine from being circulated and reported on the transverse sinus thrombosis. And I'm like, oh,
I thought it was just females.
It was just females.
Oh, no.
It was just as reported. They're waiting to go. My bet, it's 0.00009% probability.
Okay.
Much more likely my wife whacked me in the middle of the night with her fist and when she rolled over, right? And I remember before the vaccine, I had some irritation over here. I still have it. Like something was bugging me here. And so it's just much more likely to be something else than this syndrome, right? Uh-huh. So I worried about it for about a day, talked to a couple of doctors, and then stopped worrying about it.
Okay.
I also stopped my aspirin therapy, which I take for something else. So. And I'm, day 10, 11 here, and I'm fine.
And you're fine.
Yeah, I'm fine. But it is interesting, isn't it?
Wow.
Does that raise your anxiety?
Yeah.
So what else are you hypochondriac about?
Listen, I wake up with nausea. I'm like, I'm pregnant.
Don't you have questions? You're sitting next to a physician. Don't you want to ask lots of good...
Oh, yeah. I have a question. Actually, this is a different topic.
Okay.
You know Protectos in public restrooms?
Protectos. I mean, those wax Protectos?
The things you like pull down and you put it.
I didn't know they were called Protectos, but thank you
sure.
for that
Protectos.
Info.
Yeah. Some restrooms, public restrooms, don't have those. Mm. And that's when I'll squat.
You'll hover.
But what is that Protecto really doing, and
not
is it
much.
Necessary?
No.
What's going to happen if I don't use
nothing.
It?
Nothing. There's not really nothing that lives on a toilet seat cover, really. A toilet seat.
There's not.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff there.
Like,
but you're
warts
not,
on.
Nah, it just doesn't work like that. It really doesn't. I mean, you can go ahead and do it. I mean, these days we're all hyper aware of surfaces, right? Because even though COVID is not transmitted through surfaces, we became hyper aware early in the pandemic.
Yeah.
And I say good, right? Because surfaces do transmit a lot of stuff. Just not toilet seats so much. I mean, think about it.
I love
think
that.
How many people use toilet seats every
a lot.
Day. Wouldn't you think we'd see a little bit of an incidence of something coming off of that? We see zero.
True. I actually have, because I've seen public toilet seat covers that have graffiti carved into them.
Of course.
Can those gather more bacteria than ones that don't?
I suspect they could, but the bacteria that are there are not going to penetrate your skin.
So same
now,
level of
if
protection.
You had an, here's a caveat.
Okay.
If you had an open wound on your buttock or thigh, I would not sit on a public toilet seat.
Yeah, no, okay.
Because that kind of bacteria, if there's a defect in your skin, that will get in. That's a problem.
Okay.
But lots
other
of things
than
are a problem
that...
if you have a defect and you're walking around out in the world. So we want to treat those conservatively and properly. So yeah, you're pretty good with the toilet seat.
I like to hear that.
Yeah.
That's good.
And I'm a big fan of UVC light. I use a thing called an eye wand on everything because it really does sterilize stuff. And if you really want to do some, the 10 seconds of UVC light on the toilet seat would do wonders.
Oh, I'll pee my pants.
Yes, while
I
you're
don't
waiting.
Have time.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. So that's one thing I can
okay,
ask
Okay, that's
you.
One mm-hmm. thing. Next, I guess back to the hypochondria. This is like...
That was a little on the hypochondria spectrum. It's good.
Okay,
you're still
okay.
there. You're in the right zone.
Thank you. When I'm having these like, oh no, I'm going to die.
Mm.
When do I go to the doctor? Because I've always found that if I have worried about something, it's nothing to worry about. And
yeah.
now I don't know if I'm just making up symptoms. When do I go?
Let me just give you some basic stuff. I'm sure I'll miss some things. Obviously, wounds and hot infections and pus and things like that.
You
would know
like
that.
Swollen glands.
It's nothing.
Headache.
Well, headache, that's one of the things I'm going to put on the list. Something called a thunderclap headache. Where it's associated with stiff neck, like it hits you like something fell on your head.
Mm-hmm.
Thunderclap, like really where you're, and you can be even like dazed by it, really much like being hit in the head. But neck stiffness being the key component, like the neck is also stiff.
Okay.
That's something to look at. Heart rate over 150, something to look at. Real shortness of breath, not just air hunger.
Yeah.
Like anxiety gives you air hunger,
yes.
right? But shortness of breath where you are like you're staying at a respiratory rate above 26 or something, you're not, and you know, and you're maybe even tiring out. Turn blue is not good.
I've never had any of these.
I'm sure not because young people don't get these things. So as a young person, this is why, so back when I was doing Loveline, the health issues of young people are reproductive health issues, right? So there's like a severe abdominal pain, something that you might want to, you know, look at. Discharges of various types, somebody might want to look at, right? Reproductive health, emotional health, right? So we've been talking about that already.
We have.
And substance use, those are the main health issues of people, you know, under the age of 30 for sure.
Okay,
think about it. I mean, you don't get coronary disease unless you have some congenital problems, something you're born with. You probably are, most people already know that, just general medical screening will pick that stuff up.
Yeah.
Right. So you just
I'm
things
feeling
don't happen
so
to you
good talking
yes,
to you.
Yes, you should. That's good.
Wow.
I mean, infectious diseases, obviously, of a lot of types are a serious problem. Now, back when I was, again, one of the things that motivated me to get on the radio was HIV and AIDS, right?
Mm.
And that was definitely affecting young people for sure.
Yeah.
But if you're not traveling, you know, the kinds of things that are infectious diseases are not that problematic for you.
Okay.
I mean, if you, again, high fevers, you would see somebody, right? About 102.
Yeah, of course.
So
yes.
You could get typhus in Los Angeles pretty easily because we have a rat infestation.
I heard the plague is back.
The plague is coming our way.
Yeah.
You would know that if you got that.
Okay, you would know.
You'd be really sick.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So, oh, good. I feel like I can reduce your anxiety a little bit.
Honestly,
So with my traumatic heritage and my anxiety, my main issue was I was disconnected from my feelings, let's say. I think feelings that emanate from the body were vague and distant and weren't really clear to me. And my therapy was about getting connected to all that. Does that sound familiar to you?
Yeah. Mm. And my therapist told me I'm an avoider and that brings a lot of anxiety. So I don't want to have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And then by putting off said conversations, I just live with this anxiety.
Like, give me an example.
Like, telling work I have to be late because I'm doing this show.
What kind of work do you do?
I'm in production.
What kind of production?
I work on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Oh, yeah. Fabulous.
I want to do a set visit.
Oh, my gosh.
I would love to do that. Oh, my God.
Truly, you just let me know.
I am such a fan of that show.
It's so fun.
I bet.
But, yeah, having to, like, be like, sorry, I'm going to be late. Like, just the
Yeah, but I would argue that's appropriate because I know, okay. You know what I mean? Because production stuff, they will... I mean, they're going to punish you for this. I'm sorry we're doing this to you.
I had the conversation. It's all good.
Yeah.
Because once I have the conversation, it's all good.
Okay.
I have to tell a friend.
So you just avoid. It's hard. So you,
I
it's
avoid.
So you have some probably genetic component, as most people do, for your anxiety and panic, right?
Oh.
And so the anxiety comes up and you don't want to deal with that. You know, you're just sort of avoiding the anxiety as much as the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah.
So what do I do?
You got to lean into it.
You got to lean.
A certain time, the anxiety will reduce with your therapy, right? Uh-huh. But for now, you got to kind of lean into it.
Like, just be like, this is my anxiety.
I have it. It's my thing. I wish I didn't have it. It sucks. But I'm a big person. I'm an adult. We can go be. I'm right now having this crazy. Is this, Nadav, you good with this conversation? Because I want to keep going here.
I love it. Keep going.
All right. I am having this thing right now where people are shitting on me on Twitter for all kinds of crazy things I did not say and have nothing to do with me.
Twitter.
So my new policy is, particularly when it's a peer or a colleague or somebody I know, I'm calling them.
Mm.
I'm calling them. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to crap on them. I just want, because most of the people I would agree with, I'm like, dude, what's going on? How can we find rapport here? This is weird. Explain to me what's going on. Not a single person would. Some will respond to my emails, but they will not get on the phone. They're fucking cowards. Fucking cowards.
Yeah.
And my point is that there's a difference between anxiety and cowardice. And we have a pandemic of cowardice right now. And I don't think what you're talking about is cowardice at all. It's just a biological thing that you have to kind of lean into.
I like that.
As you lean into it, it will help you do things so you don't become cowardly.
You could
become cowardly avoiding this stuff. You know what I mean? And that's not you.
Yeah. Okay. Because I've had to like train myself. Like, it's okay. I can call Domino's and get a pizza. They're going to be okay with me.
Yeah. You're okay.
Yeah.
So do you have social anxiety? Oh my God. How weird for you. You're a comedian. Did you know you were a comedian?
Yeah. So much social anxiety.
And does it go away in front of a room?
You mean when I'm on stage?
You were about to tell me about your alcohol problem.
Yeah. I got a couple drinks in me, it goes away. But on stage, yeah. Once I get on stage, I'm fine, except crowd work really scares me. I do it to like, you know, grow.
Yeah, same
as a
thing
comedian.
You know, how do you not do crowds if you're a comedian?
Well, I try to, like behind the scenes stuff, I try to write out my crowd work. So I already know how it's going to go. And if they're going to say this, I have an answer for that.
Good. So you're thinking, that's good. I like that.
But if I'm just on the spot with a crowd member.
Yeah, but that will come, that comes later.
Dr. Drew.
No, because when you get confidence, then you can improvise. Improvising is about giving in, you
know, yeah,
and being feeling comfortable,
yeah.
And if you have more anxiety, you're gonna say something.
Yeah, I know.
I got anxiety too. I know exactly how
really?
It works. Yeah. I know
this
exactly.
Is such a good combo for me.
Good, excellent. but so your thing is in front of a crowd, you feel like you're in control of things, and that's when you're feeling good.
Yeah, especially with stand up, I know exactly what I'm gonna say. It is written out and rehearsed, and they might not know that.
What? Comedy's written out and rehearsed,
but it is. Prepared.
The Segura's never told me this. I thought everything they did was completely spontaneous.
Can you believe?
I'm really disappointed now. Nadav, I quit.
I did a lot of improv in my day, and that was way too scary for me.
Okay, well, there it is, right? Because that's not, but good that you did that. You should really maybe do more of it. Again, I think leaning in is your deal.
Okay, lean in.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done years of it.
Oh, okay.
I would
so
say
good.
10
so,
years of it.
Oh, so fine. You've done, so okay. Lean on it then. Okay. Lean on it. Yeah,
okay.
Use it when you, you know, sort of, you know, the whole thing with anxiety is exposure, right? There's a, you know, obviously we're talking about other psychological aspects of anxiety, but really if you want anxiety to go down, you expose yourself to the source of the anxiety in tolerable doses. You don't jump in necessarily because you can amplify the anxiety if it's out of control or it doesn't go well. So you got to give yourself, you got to keep moving in, keep leaning in. I really think that's an important thing for you.
I agree with that. And I think every time I do a show, I get less
anxious.
Anxious.
How did you get into comedy?
Such a great question. I actually talked about this on Christina P's show. In high school, I was just such a fan of The Suite Life of Zach and Cody. It's a Disney Channel show.
That is a natural path into comedy.
And my life goal was to be a guest star on said show.
Strangely, mine is to be on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So this is really interesting. Let's share this. What a coincidence.
So yeah, these are the boys. This is the show. And
now I got into
acting class because I just so badly was
is an interesting feature of this. No, listen. Okay. That I think people that have I'm not sure I can characterize this, but okay. I've heard this kind of thing before where people have these almost transcendent experiences with performers, whether it's on a stage or in a TV screen.
Mm-hmm.
One of the natural reactions is to want to be in there with them.
Mm.
That's something that people do.
Yeah.
They're like, that makes them so happy and I got to do that.
Yeah.
I got to go be in that. So I got to be a part of this.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
I had
to
that.
Me.
So that's how I got into honestly acting. And then of course High School Musical came out. I got to be in that. Mm. And also just,
were you singing and dancing at the time?
Oh, sure.
At that
yes,
point. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
Went to college for musical theater.
Oh.
I know that you're a musical theater fan.
I am the gayest straight man you'll ever speak to.
We have so much to talk about. Anyways.
What's your favorite musical?
Oh, I mean, at the moment, it's Hamilton.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
But you're sort of Les Miserables zone. Is that sort of,
one day
okay,
more.
All right. So that's what I figured. I'm a little older, schooly, a little bit.
Chorus Line, West Side
Chorus
Story.
Chorus Line, West Side Story, Fiddler on the Roof. Oh,
yeah.
You know,
Fiddler on the Roof, yeah.
I got to see all the greats from the sort of Rodgers and Hammerstein era with the original cast when they did a revival of all that in the 70s.
Wow.
So I got to see Yul Brynner and the King and I got to see Carol Channing and Hello Dolly.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's something.
That's amazing. See? That's a straight gay man's
dream. That is my gay cred right there.
Man.
So you're singing and dancing.
Singing and dancing. Basically, my high school experience was so embarrassing. Just being so obsessed with Disney Channel, I was very much not with the
You know there's a
cool
whole
kids.
There's a whole Twitter path down that of kids like you.
Oh, good.
And they wear their ears and they dress up like princesses and they really get into it.
Yeah, I'm less Disneyland Mickey, more like I was just hardcore Hannah Montana.
So hardcore Disney Channel.
Disney Channel.
It's a special thing.
My high school experience was just a series of embarrassing events and I think
give me one.
I didn't know so many things. Like a guy was like, oh, this teacher had a dildo. And I was like, what's that?
Oh.
And then they'd follow me around making dildo vibrating noises.
So
that's bullying.
Really? Yeah. I know. Well, what they're doing right now is bullying too. So I will protect
you. Didn't know it was bullying until I told this story and people were like, bullying.
Oh yeah, it's bullying. But was it because you were so childlike?
I was just so innocent. Yeah. Disney Channel was my role model. So I had just a different viewpoint on the world as my peers. And I think I used comedy. Like I just.
You naturally went that way.
Yeah. Comedy.
Did you use comedy as a way of deflecting the bullying?
I just didn't respond. I just pretended like I didn't know the bullying was going on. Yeah. Avoidance.
There we are. That's your main strategy.
But I think just all the things in my life, all these embarrassing stories, I just like would turn it into funny stories and funny. I just was
talked to a lot of comedians that this kind of thing, this strategy of using comedy to deal with social functioning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very, very common. Mm. But you kind of have to have, there's two versions too. There's people that get up on stage on a open mic night and they're like, that's it. I'm doing that the rest of my life. Did you have any kind of that kind of experience with making people laugh, being that euphoric?
Yeah, no. Growing up, I was a dancer and I did all the dance competitions and everything. And I would always do like the musical theater number and just try to make everyone laugh. Like I was just wanted
you were the comedic actor in musical comedy.
Yeah. And then when I switched to acting, like in, I went to a performing arts high school and everything I did, the teachers would like purposely give me dramatic stuff because I just wanted to do the funny stuff.
Oh, interesting. What was your highlight comedic role? What's your, what was your greatest moment as a comedic performer?
I did this this play in college where I didn't have any lines. And I was just in the back, like I was this person at work that just like sticking pencils up my nose. And apparently it was just
hysterical.
Hysterical.
Good for you.
So yeah, I just tried to, anything I did with acting, I just would turn it to comedy.
And let me ask kind of a question that occurs to me. Was the laughter more, this just occurs to me, and I don't know if this is even a meaningful question, but was the laughter more rewarding than the applause?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Interesting.
And then I did a one-person show. It was all comedy. And stand-up just happened organically because it's a way to just perform without having to be cast in something.
What was your first comedic stand-up experience?
I was 23, and I had 5 shots of alcohol. Because I was so nervous.
Did you know it was an open mic night? Were you there to stand up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I went to an open mic night.
I had my 3 jokes prepared.
Where?
It was at UCLA.
Oh, wow. So it was a student open mic night.
Yeah, yeah.
Were you still in college?
No, I was a year out. And I, yeah, I did well. And I was like, okay.
I can do this.
5 shots. I haven't drank that much since. I don't have a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I understand. You mentioned a cake when we were hit mics for heating up, and I thought, cakes at a birthday, that's sort of a specific thing for a certain group of folks. You're not in the special rooms or anything?
What do you mean?
You don't have to tell me. Good. You may, either you don't want to talk about it, or you really don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Wait. What are you talking about?
Well, in mutual aid societies, cakes are a big deal.
Oh.
And you said I should get a cake for something that really wasn't my birthday.
Yeah. It was for celebration.
AIDS cakes?
No. When you get your chip, you get a cake for your year of, you know, each year of recovery.
Oh, really?
So when people talk about cakes.
Cakes.
Mutual aid societies, we call that.
Oh, no.
And so I was like, is Chase talking that special language to me?
When you said that, I thought you were going to be like, oh, she rewards herself with food.
Oh, I see. So back to you blaming yourself and shaming yourself. So no, I wouldn't go there at all.
She needs to go on a diet. Okay,
I was thinking more in terms of success and recovery. Good for you.
No. Oh my gosh, my brain didn't go there.
So clearly not.
But I'm happy for
people that already do get cakes. Me too. I'm very happy for them. So you know what we do in this show, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited.
Good. Nadav, did I get to everything, do you think, on Chase? Or is there more to be revealed that I missed here?
I feel like once Chase does a couple more therapy sessions, she'll know all the other stuff that she needs to bring.
Well, I guess it does beg two issues as we move into this show. So what do you perceive to be the trauma that set you up for the anxiety? At this point.
Oh, that set me up for the anxiety. Mm-hmm. I do believe it's avoiding. I don't know.
Yeah, but where'd the avoidant come from? That's an attachment style, we say.
Apparently, she had me read this book, The Drama of the Gifted Child. Mm-hmm. You've heard of it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have lived it.
Oh, yeah. So apparently I didn't know this, but a lot of like my life, I was like rewarded for like winning gold medals or being a good student.
But what's behind that is not giving you the attuned, connected support emotionally that you needed.
Of like, you don't need to be a successful this or that to be just loved as you are.
That's one layer of it.
Okay.
Another layer is more, you know, the way it's supposed to work, which proper child rearing. I had a big dose of the same thing.
Okay.
Is you're supposed to have an attuned, present bottle, you know, somebody who's you'll see it with your therapist. He or she.
She
will. You'll see her on her, what, you know, you'll notice her face. You'll notice how she makes you feel being around those things. That's supposed to be parents supposed to do that. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to do a lot of that early on. And probably we didn't get enough of that.
Okay.
Or the right kind of that. And it made us either avoidant or whatever in our attachment styles, because it was either too much or too little or not consistent enough, something. And then where the anxiety really kicks in is what's supposed to happen next is something called rapprochement, where you go out into the world and then you come back for refueling. Mm. So you were probably just sent out in the world. Look how great you are. And you that was your fuel. It was just, you're great. Rather than coming back for, look at what I did. Like, oh, look, that's nice. And was it scary? Was it this? And try to attune to what you're actually experiencing, uh-huh, as opposed to being what the parent needs you to be, which is great.
Right.
And this is not, I don't want to make another victim of all this. Like, we all make parenting, you know, none of us are perfect parenting. Sometimes it's the genetic, you know, the genetic mixture of the child and parent doesn't, mm-hmm, match right. And there can be lots and lots of reasons for this. So I don't want to blame parents per se, right, as much
as we're
say,
all doing our best.
Yeah. As much to say, that's how this happens. That's how,
yeah,
this happens.
And then a lot of, putting my needs over here and taking care of everyone else.
Right.
What did you say, Nadav? Put the fire on yourself and...
Oh, yeah. Don't let yourself on fire to keep other people warm.
That's what I do. Whoa, where'd that come from?
I know.
That's how I think in sayings, and that's one of my favorite
you
ones.
You think in sayings? You mean you invented that?
No. Okay. Like, I definitely heard that. I don't come up with it.
But it's, the other name for that is codependency, right?
Oh.
That's codependency. Oh, and so... It's an asset. I hope people don't mind us talking about this, because I'm indulging myself as much as you, because I'm into this stuff too. And I think it's important to educate people about this stuff.
Yeah.
So people kind of experience themselves through two perspectives, two general postures. There's lots of things in our brain that are sort of postures or constitutions. But one of them is you either experience yourself first and then other, or you experience others first and then yourself. Right. That's right. Me too. Right. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you end up having bad boundaries. You it's hard for you to tell what's somebody else's pain and what's your pain, for instance. You just need to stop it in the other person. And really, you don't know whether that person needs that pain stopped or not. You just need to stop because it's so painful to you. That's your pain. And finding that boundary is very challenging for people like you and me. We need a lot of practice at it.
I'm so touched that you're comparing us.
We have the same. We're structured very similarly.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. These are common things.
And okay.
These are, and they're actually, now I want to stroke you a little more even now. So, which is these become assets, mm-hmm, because you are highly attuned to other people and you do really care about other people. You experience everything through other people. It's very meaningful to you, but you can't let it. When it's blurring into your feelings being mobilized by other people, now that's kind of narcissistic, right? It's no longer really altruistic.
Yeah. Can I ask, are you a Pisces?
Virgo.
Okay.
Virgo. Does that
I don't know.
Make any sense at all?
I don't know. I just know about Pisces, but it sounds like we have the same
stuff,
astrological.
We are sort of, let's just say we had similar issues.
Wow.
Yeah, similar. I get the feeling that you get a higher burden because of what women do to themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think your genetic setup may be a little more too, also that way.
Uh-huh.
I shouldn't be this bad with my anxiety and stuff. I really shouldn't. And with lots of therapy, I'm not so much anymore.
Okay.
So.
And my therapy is going to help me.
Oh my God, yes. Oh, you're going to be shocked. But you got to stick with it.
Yeah.
Stay.
I'm paying a pretty penny.
Yeah, it's fine. Gonna, yeah.
It's worth it.
You got to tell me after who it is. I'll let you know if I
can. Okay.
So, as I said, you know what we do on this show. Oh, that was the other issue, which is, you know, there's a lot of white and brown and yellow talk on this show, right?
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yes.
Yes.
And so any relationship, sexual issues, how'd that all develop for you? Everything okay? Are we going to step on any landmines for you?
No, we won't be stepping on landmines.
Okay.
I'm going to be contributing to some advice, maybe.
Yeah, of course.
I hope to
to
help.
Share your own experiences?
I feel like I brown a good amount.
Good. That's
the
good.
Normal amount.
Yeah, yeah. You're not like Annie. You don't wait a month in between.
No, I'm not like Annie. No problems there. And
the white doesn't apply, but
yeah,
not necessarily.
Nah. I mean, yeah.
Unless,
and yellow.
So it'd be clear for women, right, Drew?
Well... Interestingly, I'm always trying to be very accurate. So hold on, tighten your seatbelt. This is where you tighten the seatbelt. So women can have emissions that are quite cloudy. And they call that squirting sometimes, or female ejaculation. Mm. And only a few women really produce that stuff. And it's probably the Bartholin's glands, Skene's glands, and some individuals that's your thing. Your thing?
Mm-mm.
Not your thing.
Mm-mm.
It's a small, rare group. So white, brown, and it sounds like you were sort of late to the game with relationships and sexuality.
Yeah, I had my first boyfriend at 17, which is
that's not
bad.
Kind of normal for a kid, yeah. A Disney kid.
Yeah. By the time I got to senior year, I became a little more normal. More like, you know, hip and cool. With
I see.
It, you know.
Junior, senior, high school. Okay, got
high
it.
School, yeah. So, yeah, I feel like I'm average there, not ahead of the game, but
we'll find out. Boyfriend now, relationship now, or?
Yeah.
And what's your comedy mostly about?
It's about, I do talk a lot about my embarrassing stories from high school. I talk about being in a sorority. I talk about being super lazy.
You're super lazy?
So lazy. Well, I'm not really.
Because you're in production.
I'm a very hard worker. Yeah. I guess,
but your belief about yourself, your self-concept is lazy.
I guess just
lazy.
Like when I'm not working, I just want to sleep. Is that normal? That sounds very normal. Okay.
Sleepy. Check your thyroid. I'm more worried about that than all your other lymph glands and everything else.
Okay.
So let's just get your thyroid checked. Well, let's do a couple emails and see what you have to say about
this. Okay.
Hi, mommies. I have a question regarding yellow. Sometimes when I'm done making yellow, my balls will start to hurt. You may not have a direct experience with this.
Okay.
Like they've been stung for around 5, they sting for 5 to 15 seconds. Not sure it's something to do with the way I sit down or something. Sit down?
Oh,
he sits down to pee.
Some boys do that, right?
Not unless they have a phimosis or something,
epispadium.
What's the word I'm looking for? Epispadium? Help me.
Hypospadium.
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 There we go.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. The COVID brain has really been quite interesting and not fun.
Yeah. Oh, I heard.
Not,
yeah,
not
you've
fun.
Been a little foggy.
I can't find the word hypospadias. I'm guessing this is probably pubococcygeus and cremasteric muscle spasm.
No way, you can just...
I'm guessing.
Wow.
There's a lot of musculature down there that can create these kind of visceral pains. And most people don't get it after urinating so much that they can. I also worry so there could be something structural with the urethra. There could be a little stricture or something. And that may be what's sort of setting them up for that discomfort. So it might not be a bad idea to see a urologist just in case that's what the deal is. See?
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Hello, my king and queen above 18. The friend of mine told us in a group chat that her butthole starts to tingle after 2 drinks. 5 drinks? No.
No, I've never had that problem.
Okay. She can tell us when she is drunk based on how tingly her butthole is. This is a new threshold, a new scale, the butthole scale. God, she was butthole tingly drunk. She then asked if she was broken. I honestly don't know. Is she broken? You bet I'm coming up in May. Nadav, you bet I'm coming up in May is just, it's taken off.
We love it, dude.
It's my wife finally asked me, what is this? Because on my streaming show, people are keep saying it at the end of every call. And I made her watch the whole thing with...
The thing with the king?
That wasn't the king. It was with...
Ed Asner.
Ed Asner, right. And she was mad at me for making her watch it. So there you go. But you have to understand the context. So you bet I'll be coming up in May. Do you understand the context of that?
I thought you had a live show happening in May. Every time I've heard it, I'm like, oh, they're coming to the show in May.
Nadav, you know what that means.
Yeah, let me try and
okay.
find.
Okay, oh. I think we have to show
yeah,
Chase.
Let me see if I can
oh
find.
Oh my
it.
God!
Yeah, I think we must show you. I apologize now. My wife's mad at me for watching it. You'll never forget. You bet I'm coming up in May. It'll make perfect sense for you from now on, and never be otherwise. She is not broken.
I
she has a unique butthole,
that.
And good for her for the. And let's be fair, the smooth muscle down there is under some sympathetic nervous system input, and maybe that's all relaxing when she's drinking. And some sort of weird symptomatology. Oh, boy. This
that's
is
a long
I got it ready.
All right, oh. Chase. So I think we should get right to it. Do we have to watch the whole thing?
Well, here's the thing is that we have so many videos of this guy. I'm kind of don't remember which. Oh, wait, hold on.
It's the meaningful one. It's where he finishes.
Homie, there's like, well, every single video of him, he's finishing.
So, really?
Yeah.
I've only seen the one where he's coming up in May.
I have four different videos over here, and they all involve coming.
Like, this isn't what I was expecting.
So good.
Oh,
there he is.
Oh,
that's not the one. I don't think that's the one, is
boy.
It?
Oh, no.
There it is. We have to see it because it's especially disturbing when you see this gentleman. I feel so bad for him.
Is this on an OnlyFans page? Or?
Right before you come, I'll swallow if I want to. I have no problem swallowing. I'd stop for a minute and I'd put a big hickey on your inner thigh there and just suck on that and make it nice and red and let you remember me after I'm gone.
That's Ed Asner.
It's not really
turn over and I would just play like with your cheeks, maybe even massage your little hole and make you feel just the only man in my life. You're just it.
Chase, you can shut your mouth now.
Well, it's normal size. It's not that big. So, well, the one thing that I'm going to tell you is that the first time
it's hard for me to watch.
It's going
to
be quick with me because it's been a long time.
And it is. It is quick for him. And
okay, you
Chase,
come.
You okay?
come. Let me see. Yeah. Let me see how
yeah,
much
I
you
wanna,
come.
I spent a lot of my days here with my hands over my mouth and eyes. Okay. This is one of those things.
Okay.
Well, let me come. How big a load I'm going to swallow? I need it right now.
Oh no! Are we going to see it?
I need it right now. Okay.
You don't have to watch. You don't want to.
Can you see this?
Where do you find these?
Don't ask me. They show them to me and make me disgusted and upset.
Okay, give it to me now. Give it to me now.
Ed Asner's really bringing it.
Come on, Mark. Don't be stingy.
Mark?
I'm going to put this in your mouth, and you're going to have to suck it dry.
But I think Mark put his video out, so I don't think Mark had Ed's best interest at heart.
This was actually in Ed Asner's will that after, because, I mean, Ed is no longer with, at least this version of Ed. And so his request is that after he died, that Mark upload all these videos on xvideos.com.
Seriously?
Yeah, and so this is actually part of his will and testament. And so,
what?
Yeah,
how did you find that out?
It's on his xvideos profile.
No way.
That's bullshit.
I promise you it's not. This was a dying wish.
So we haven't gotten to the payoff yet. I don't mean the line.
Why is it paused? What?
You're right.
Yeah, Chase wants
Let's
to
keep see going.
You're coming up in May has to.
Oh no!
That's a beautiful mouth.
Oh.
Give it to me, Mark. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I can feel it. Mm. Oh, that's gonna be good. Oh, that's gonna be good. Oh. Oh.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Oh.
Damn.
Now listen carefully.
You bet I'm coming up in May. You better believe I'm coming up in May.
That's why they're coming up in May.
So there it is.
You are terrific. I know you're going to be good in bed. That's all I can say.
So you see, this is just a kind of a video session of two people that have not met up yet.
Yeah. Right. What's the matter, Chase? You okay? So
I just so
aren't
it was,
you glad you skipped work today?
It was just.
I can feel it.
Okay.
Oh, that's gonna be
so.
Good.
This is how I got involved with your friend Christina P and Tom Segura, her husband, because they kept showing me this shit and liked seeing me with my hands over my face all the time. So there's lots of other videos that they showed me. Weirdly, I've been kind of desensitized to lately.
We have three other ones with that.
I've noticed my hands don't come to my face as much these days as they used to. But this was this brought it all back. All the shame and guilt.
I just, yeah. So we don't know where this is online. You guys just have sources and you found it.
I mean, it's on xvideos.com.
It
was
okay.
The originals were uploaded.
Your mom's house has this.
What they called Oriental warts.
Wow. Your mom's
that's
house,
a medical term, right?
Your mom's house has an not really. Your mom's house has the most extraordinary fans I've ever encountered.
I know.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're into it. They're in, and they send this stuff to Tom and Christina. They send it to them.
Yeah,
Tom,
they don't even have to research anymore. They get sent it.
Oh, this has been going on for a long time. They get sent it. And that says something about the fans,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, whenever I encounter the fans, they're not a lot different than you. They're usually well put together young females with like often brown hair and housewifey, right?
Have you, I've been meeting a lot of them on tour with Christina.
Right? Don't they seem very like put together?
Put together, and well-spoken.
Clearly there's a dark side to that world. And they're enthusiastic about their fandom of your mom's house.
Yeah.
I think, Nadav, one of these days, we need to put one of them in this seat here and see what's going on.
Oh, careful what you wish for.
Because they really are a mystery to me. I interacted with one on Clubhouse the other day, and she was this lovely, smart, well-put-together woman. No hint of the stuff you and I have, the anxiety, nothing. No hint of any of that. And her interest was in the relationship between me and Tom and Christina and my wife. Mm. Like, that was fascinating to her. I don't know why. And I don't know why the context requires this, but this is what brings them in.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
You know, I that's the wildest thing I've seen all week.
Oh,
all
sit
year.
Tight, honey. We got more for you. This is your mom's house. Have you not been exposed to a lot of this stuff?
I have. I just, when it's right there. And
yeah, it was a little much. Wow. Yeah, I guess you're right. This week is probably the most you've come. Let's, maybe we'll just, since we've done the white, let's do a little brown. Maybe a cool fart?
Mm.
Cool guys. You know what cool guys are, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And by the way, oh.
Oh, no. Oh,
I don't.
Good.
I'm not sure I needed the video. That's the
no.
least. That's,
hold
I
guess, on.
But that's now, the cool part.
Now that was three different octaves. Like medically speaking, what is happening?
I think
in that
there's butt? A certain, you know, like Will the Farter on Stern Show. There are people that can suck in and then push out and produce different kinds of pitches and different qualities.
But his leg didn't even move when the pitch changed.
I think he's one of those guys. Well, I assure you the. What
Let's
is
go
it?
Back to the.
Hang on a second. The what's it called? What the. Like clarinet players have and horn players, the
reed.
No, the what they do with their mouth. The embouchure. The embouchure, I'm sure, was different. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
Maybe you ought to look up embouchure, and you will immediately get my reference. That's really sucked in. Oh.
There's like eight different stages to this.
Yeah, yeah. The embouchure. Look up embouchure. Show me a picture of an embouchure, and you'll see why he's able to do this.
I don't even
I'm not
know
sure
how
on
to
the
spell
spelling.
Embouchure.
I'm not sure either, but embouchure. Yes. Let's show a picture or an image. There it is. Mm-hmm. All the different qualities that they make with their lips.
You're saying his butthole is doing that?
His butthole has embouchure is what I'm saying.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I guess that's a talent.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Good for him.
Good for him. Oh, gosh.
Prosthetic assholes. Not something you're into.
The fart, that video?
Just farting generally. It's not, some women are like, find it hysterical. Some women are like, just not into it. It's like there's a dividing line for in certain humor when it comes to women.
Yeah, no, I didn't find that funny. Yeah.
And I would imagine you're in this group that finds, say, the Three Stooges a mystery. Is that you? Yeah. You don't know why that's funny.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
See, there's a Three
like
Stooges
it.
Fart connection.
Okay.
It's for the male brain who finds that hysterical for no good reason.
Okay.
And so women being more evolved look at that and go, why is that funny? But then as a young man pointed out to me from what was the name of that band called like Dogfish or something? We had him on radio years ago. He said, what is not funny about a fart? It sounds funny. It smells funny, and it comes out of your ass. So,
but I guess
he had a good point,
a good
right?
Point.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
So there you go. Here we go.
But that was nothing.
And
okay.
You know, I saw a video, Nadav. This is another thing I'm asking you maybe to set up, where a woman was turned into a cool guy, and I thought, wow, they withheld that video from me.
You gotta need to be more specific than that.
Tom was laughing his ass off about it recently on your mom's
Still
house.
Still more specific.
She had nice teeth at the beginning, and she turned into a cool guy with lots of bleeding.
That's starting to narrow it down.
Okay.
She got drunk, I think, and was standing on her boyfriend's shoulders.
Oh, was she drinking mimosas? Okay.
Yes,
I think
mimosas.
I know what you're talking
about.
Mimosas.
All right,
give me a second.
Yeah. Five mimosas, to be exact. Five mimosas.
Oh.
And I thought, man, you guys have withheld this one from me because I've got something to say about this one.
Oh, I'm excited.
So one of the criteria for cool guy in Christina's mind is teeth. She's obsessed with teeth. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
You've noticed it. Because you have a big bright smile. So I guarantee you she has said something about it more than once to you.
Yeah, that I have nice teeth.
That's not normal. Not normal not to have the nice teeth, but for her to talk about it. She talks about it incessantly. Nice teeth is a weird thing. But because that's her thing, the fucked up teeth are like a big problem for her. They're a violation of her sensibilities, those delicate sensibilities has, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is the lady.
Oh, no.
This is the young lady. I dig this girl. But in any event, one of the cool guy criteria is fucked up teeth, right?
Yeah.
And this young lady turns into a cool guy right before our eyes.
Okay, let's
see. There's also a TikTok cool guy sign, too, which is drifting eye.
Oh.
You'll notice the cool guys on TikTok have a drifting eye.
Okay.
The cool guys out in the sort of YouTube world have messed up teeth.
Yeah, okay. So. Okay.
Just got to get you into the on board with
thanks,
all this stuff.
Dr.
Yeah,
Drew.
You bet. Okay, here's this young lady. Lovely young lady. Beautiful teeth, interestingly, to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is me after 4 mimosas.
This is me after 8 mimosas.
This is me after 2 mimosas. This is me after, I think, 6 mimosas. This is me after 7 mimosas.
This is me after 2 flights of mimosas.
This is me after all the flights of mimosas. Don't talk. I'm
so this is what she does. This is what she does.
Oh, I've seen. I saw this.
This is her move.
I saw this. I'm scared.
Oh, no.
I know.
Oh, my God. Cool guy.
Yeah.
Knocked out 4 teeth there.
Yeah, I saw
that. Now, if you just saw that picture of her, you would think, there's a cool girl.
Yeah.
Cool gal. This is a cool gal. She was converted instantly into a cool gal.
Yeah,
I didn't know that was possible.
Just posted, I think, on Tom's or some.
Yes.
Yeah, because I just watched this too.
Yes.
Oh.
Any thoughts?
So terrible.
Yes.
That is so terrible.
It's terrible. Good news is there's great dentistry out there these days.
You can just reimplant
them.
Yep. Oh, put in the real
implants
teeth?
Implants or even sometimes put the real ones back in. But look how lovely those teeth are.
So
but
beautiful.
I didn't know you could turn somebody like that into a cool person.
No.
I didn't. She's like perfect. She's perfect. Oh, it's such a transition.
Oh my God.
I didn't think that was possible. She's another one. Nadav, you know how I get. This is another one I want to talk to. I want to talk to this young lady. So if anybody knows how to get in touch with her, I'm dying to talk
to her. What would you ask her?
I'd be very concerned about her, right? And that she's okay and everything is good now. I'm sure she's okay. But that transition to a cool guy, I'm so fascinated by it.
What's it like to lose all your confidence in 2 seconds?
What is it like to become a bloody mess without any teeth? And it literally is like a cartoon where somebody walks in the room and their hair is all done up and just goes...
Yeah.
I mean, go back to her. Even her hair's fucked up. It's like they put her in mud or something. She became a cool guy. They're
so beautiful.
Look.
Oh, my
she's
God.
She's beautiful and well-kempt. And all of a sudden now she looks like she's... been smoking crack for a little while.
I mean, for a long time. Years.
I want to know, first of all, were you smoking crack? Was it just the mimosas? Did this how does somebody navigate that transition?
After 4 mimosas.
She was just
having fun and then took it too far.
And I'd like to know from her perspective, is there a lesson to be learned? I don't want to get up on my pulpit and preach. I wonder if she has learned a lesson from
And I wonder if she remembers it. Like, it might not have even hurt.
Good point.
You know?
That may be part of the cool gal transition. It's like you have to be in a blackout.
Yeah.
Good for you. I like that addition. We'll find out. I got to talk to her to find that out. Anybody knows her, get her in touch
TikTok
with us.
TikTok handle is right there. It's on the TikTok. You can just message her.
Nadav. Let's,
right there.
Autumn Kathy 6.
Yep, there she is.
Autumn Kathy 6. We're looking for you at your mom's house. Autumn Kathy. I got to write this down. Autumn Kathy with a C. Okay.
6.
Autumn Kathy. Not a cool gal name.
No.
Autumn Kathy 6. Mm-hmm. With a C. Did I say it again?
With a C and with an E before the Y.
Mm. Autumn Kathy 6.
Ugh. All right. Now really not cool. All right, let's hear a voice message. Give me a good one.
Hey, Mommy, it's Alex. I was born with where your dick hole is in the wrong place.
Luckily for me,
it was right on the bottom of, like, the head of my dick.
Yep.
So not really.
That's the most common one.
And they fixed it, when I was born. But basically, it's not totally fixed, and my other hole kind of still leaks, you know.
That happens.
Oh, God.
And like when I make white, it comes out of there too. Mm-hmm. Doesn't really affect anything, and I still have sex just fine. I was kind of wondering if I should consider getting this fixed or having surgery to fix it. I'm kind of scared and feel like it might not be necessary at this point. So let me know. Thanks.
What a bright, sparkly personality
Alex.
He has.
Yeah.
So let's hear. Let's see if I can show Chase what a hypospadias is. Let's get her some images up here.
There we go. Let's
you know
see.
What it is?
No, I'm learning so much.
This is good. see those holes along the midline there? That you during development, the urethra doesn't always make it all the way out to the tip.
Oh.
It can go any of those places or any combination of those places. It can go a couple places sometimes. Oh. In his situation, he's saying...
Just right under.
Right under and at the tip. He has like two... Or maybe
at
they
the
fixed
coronal.
It.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Corneal. Corneal.
The corneal.
The cornu, which is the corona, which is the rim.
Okay.
The rim of the penis. So
okay.
All right. You're all good so far?
Yes,
right,
yes.
Good.
Thank you.
And so he had it repaired. And I have something to say. I've said it before in the show that there's this weird thing going on where people with ambiguous genitalia and midline errors of development, which are exceedingly common, should somehow leave them alone. No. I want to use stronger language, but I'll just say no. These things need to be repaired, just like if somebody had a cleft palate. It affects functioning. It affects lots of things. And you repair it, early, and the earlier you repair it, the better the outcome. Period.
But he said he repaired it at birth.
Which is when they do it. Okay. But what he's saying is that there's still a little hole there.
Yeah.
Now, my bet is they'd leave it alone if it doesn't bother him. That's my bet. Because it really doesn't have that much functional significance. He's not having any pain. It's not your other the urethra that's made to go to the tip is functioning pretty well. It's just been probably some recanalization of the old one, like it opened back up.
Sure.
And it could happen even again if he had the repair. And if this isn't bothering you that much, I mean, definitely see a urologist about it. But if it's not bothering you, I mean, what's the big deal?
It's a surface
trick.
Because I was going to say, get that repaired. So if you say don't, I trust you.
Well, here's what's an important part of this, though. Men are very self-conscious about mm-hmm. these parts of their body. Mm-hmm. So let's say you encountered that out in the wild. Would that be a problem? You have a little disgust look on your face. It would be disgusting.
I think I wouldn't like it. Yeah.
I'm not sure. So here's what I saw on your face,
okay.
which is awesome.
Okay.
I saw first disgust.
Okay.
And then I thought, well, if I really like him, right?
Right.
Maybe it would be okay.
Yeah. It's this game I play called Deal Breaker. Like, he's perfect in every way, but he has just a little corneal whatever. And is it a deal breaker?
Coronal hypospadias.
That one.
He just has a hypospadias.
And so if he's perfect in every other way, maybe not.
So that is an interesting slippery...
Red flag, but...
Red flag, concern. Mm-hmm. Not even red flag, just concern.
Concern.
But it sounds like you could go down a little bit of a slippery slope, though, if you're not careful.
Could I?
Yeah. Like, show me micro penis.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
See, I think it's... I'm so sorry to the men that have them. I just think it's a deal breaker for me.
Yes. Okay. Well, you're clear about that. Well, that's not micro. That's just cold. There's micro. That's micro. So
the people at home can't see this. So why don't you explain between a cold penis and a micro penis?
Cold penis is just retracted. It's just, you can see there's some girth there and whatever. And probably, you know, he's a grower, not a shower.
Like a Greek statue.
Yeah,
like
a Greek statue penis. This looks like a clitoris. And that's like a
just a little
oversized clitoris, and that's sad.
And what percentage of men have this?
I think it's awfully rare, but let's look up incidence micropenis. Just add that word, micropenis incidence. Incidence? No, C-S-C-E-C-E. Not incidence. You're going to see episodes then. C-E. Can you read that? I can't quite read it.
No.
0.6%. I'm surprised that it's that much. 1.5 in 10,000 verts.
That's a lot.
So it's 1 in 10,000. So you could come across one of those. Yeah, it's
and
sad.
I haven't.
Good.
But I do think that would be a deal breaker for me.
I think it's unfortunate, but okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. So your slippery slope has limits. You know, you won't slide all the way down and excuse everything with a male.
No.
Yeah.
No, no.
You have you have clear.
Yeah. Oh, you were worried that it might not be a deal breaker.
I was worried how far you would convince yourself of things.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's perfect in every way except for the micropenis. We'll
except
figure it out.
Except his eyeball falls out when he sneezes. Yeah.
Right. So you have limits. You're pretty good at the boundaries.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Okay. Let's go with another voice message. We've got a lot of mileage out of that one.
Hey, Dr. Drew, it's Dan from Bowling Green, Ohio. So I was having sex with my girlfriend and we were kind of high, and she forgot that she had a tampon in. Mm. She actually remembered, but then she forgot to take it out later. So we had sex, and then we went to the doctor to take it out right after, and we had each had a gummy, so it was interesting. My question is there any long-term or any side effects that we should look into after that? Any advice would be appreciated. Thank you very much, and have a good day. And you bet I'm coming up in May.
You bet, sir. Great question, common problem. Any history with yourself and stuff?
Yeah, you know,
I saw that. I can read you pretty carefully now, pretty well. I see it.
So quick.
Yeah.
You know those Diva cups?
Yeah.
Do
you like those?
No.
Don't like them.
I like what they do. I like that they're, you know,
you like
environmentally
the idea of it.
Friendly.
Yeah, you like the idea of it.
But I had like a throwaway Diva cup that I thought I had just fallen out. Like I just didn't know it was still in there, and I had a Diva cup in me for a month.
That's actually dangerous.
I know.
Yeah.
I was not. This is why I won't do it again.
Did you have to have it taken out, or just you find it?
No,
it out?
Just
you figured it out.
There was like pain down there.
Oh,
I was like,
man.
I don't know what this is going on. And then it was a Diva cup.
Ugh. So what those guys did was perfectly fine. Right, that's a nothing.
They had sex.
The tampon was in. It goes up. Show me a cervix.
Show him a cervix.
And it goes up an area called the fornix. Yeah, it's not showing.
It goes.
It. The cervix kind of there. You can kind of see it up. Yeah, on that guy. Yeah, not really. The pink one. That one. See how it sort of, the vagina kind of goes up around the cervix?
Yeah.
Stuff can get stuffed up in there, right? And
yikes.
Really pretty easily. And it's, and all kinds of things can end up there. And women, like even condoms end up there.
Oh.
Tampons end up there. Cups end up there. and the very dangerous part with your cup is it probably was over the cervix still, right?
Oh my gosh.
And this is the problem with all these things, particularly if they're occlusive, is you can get toxic shock syndrome.
That's what I hear.
Yes. And I've seen toxic shock before. It is nasty. It is terrible. People like die. And there's not a lot you can do once it really gets going if you don't come to the doctor fast enough. And,
yeah. And they say this is what happens if you just sleep with a tampon in. They try to scare you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, the idea is that there's a rash with toxic shock. That's what they're showing you here. And it has to be kind of occlusive and has to be prolonged. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And so that's the problem of things getting stuck up there. And there's some risk always of it sort of, it gets bacterial involvement and stuff, and it can be a problem. So it's so good that they went to the doctor, had it taken out. Doctors take this shit out all the time.
Really?
All the time. They have these long forceps and pull stuff out, and it's like, no big deal. So, and it's a very, very, very smart. So you don't feel humiliated. Don't feel ashamed. It's just like,
it's another Tuesday.
If you went to your doctor for a sprained ankle or something, it's like, hey, we had this thing happen. Please yank it out.
That's okay.
Awesome. Good.
So they're okay and they won't experience side effects.
Well, here's what's interesting about this couple. Most people don't do exactly what they did. They are exceptional. They did what they took care of business and they were not ashamed of things. They did what they're supposed to do. And that's good.
Yeah.
So good for them.
Good for them.
Voice message. Give me a female voice message, too, because we've got to chase the full flavor of all the different kinds of things we get here.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Hitler. Mm-hmm. This is Katie from Texas. I was just calling in to ask what you think about chiropractic care for babies. That means like infants, newborns, all that stuff.
Yeesh.
Thanks.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
Did you say chiropractic?
Chiropractic care. I don't know why you would do that. You need a pediatrician to take care of a baby. Babies are, in human history, humans did not make it out of childhood. That's why, by the way, you should always know that real life regressions aren't real, because if there was just random life regressions, all of us would die in childhood.
Oh.
Because you either died in childbirth or childhood. like literally only couple out of 10 would get out of childhood, you know, throughout human history.
Yeah.
Because there are serious childhood illnesses, lots of them. You do not... I was so anxious when my kids were kids because I know what can happen to children.
Oh, it's, I'm sure.
Protein. It's why there are children's hospitals. Just to, it's not because it's convenient to have kids in one place. It's because they have a massively different set of conditions. That's why we have a pediatrician
and not a chiropractor.
Don't go down that path. Don't go down that path. Too important. I don't know why you would. Maybe there's some reason. Maybe the kid
has a bad back,
shoulder pain.
Yeah.
All right. Another voice message.
Hey, Dr. Mommy. Hey, Tina the Slut. This is Catherine, and I'm from Alabama, and I definitely have an odd question that I would love for one of you to answer, because for the last 2 years of my life, it has haunted me. My best friend shared some pretty shocking news with me that her boyfriend stands up to white after he browns, and this topic started a controversy in our friend group. I found out that two more boys in our group also do that, which is too many, if you ask me, and it's pretty fucking gross. Before you ask, no, they don't brown standing up. These men go from an already seated position to standing up in order to wipe. I'd like to know whether or not either of you have ever heard of this. If you have, what would compel anyone to do such a thing? And if you haven't heard of it, do you suggest that I start looking for other friends? Piss on me, beat me, I'm coming for that booty. Up in May.
Oh, wow. Woo, love this lady. What is the region of most of the Your Mom's House fans? Are they, is South, East, any overrepresented?
It's all over.
Okay. Is that some overrepresentation by one region? No?
No, not really. Okay. We're bi-coastal. We're up in the mid.
Oh, I know. There's international stuff, too. Okay. So, Catherine.
Catherine sounds sheltered.
Oh, Nadav, you want to tell us something?
Yeah, I wipe standing up. I heard it was a coin flip. I thought it was like, oh yeah, half people wipe sitting down, half people wipe standing up.
What?
Let's mine this for Chase has this sense of disbelief and curiosity on her face.
Oh my gosh.
Tell me more. What led Catherine's question was, why would you do that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's like, so you're telling me I'm supposed to sit down, mm-hmm. brown, mm-hmm. and then like lean over to the side and wipe? It's like, I feel like one.
No. You don't need to lean over.
Women do all kinds of maneuvers.
Oh, you go up the gut, down the middle?
Or you can go at the back, just straight back.
Yeah, but that all involves leaning. It all involves, like, you need to give your hand access to get in there because the hole is facing down into the
water. So hold on. First of all, I insist that you share this with Tom and Christina next time at your mom's house. Okay?
That I wipe standing up?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Yes, please. There will be a reaction, I promise you.
No, but so Chris wipes standing up, too. He just
said it. Okay, this is great. Well, what we found is people that... like your mom's house, there seems to be a correlation there. I wouldn't call it causation, but there's a correlation there.
Is it because you pee standing up, so you're just used to standing in the bathroom? It's a comfort?
No, because, I mean, I will say that after browning and I need a yellow afterwards, I'll just be like, nah, I could just keep sitting down. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So here's the problem. And this is why Catherine.
You could get the right angle standing up.
Here's why Catherine's sensibilities are a little shaken.
Okay.
You're not a small man.
Hmm? This I can confirm, yes. Okay. I just got my second vaccine dose.
So we've talked... good. We've talked about how access is sort of the goal of the lean, right? Access?
Hmm? Right.
Yeah. So access becomes altered at the point at which the spreading of the gluteal muscle... closes, right?
So, okay, all right.
Yeah, you go with me? Mm-hmm, and so her concern is, man, how can you get... first of all, it's going to spread everything all over like peanut butter on shag carpet as soon as you stand up. You understand?
Yeah.
Chase, am I onto something here?
What a visual.
Thank you. and especially with the Dove, I'm especially appreciating this visual.
Hey, I don't get that messy over there. Also, I have a bidet at home, so you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's different.
You stand up for the bidet?
Well, I stand up for the drying.
Oh, well, that's different.
But okay. I mean, before the bidet, I mean, I was still a stander. I stand in the office.
So these gluteal folds come together. And now we have shag carpet spreading the peanut butter all over the place. Now it's a really kind of a project to get that out of there, right? And how do you get the proper access? Are you grabbing one cheek and pulling it aside?
Oh.
No.
Sorry, Chase. Chase just almost threw up there. She almost threw up. We almost had one.
I'm arching my back a bit, but also, Drew, my butthole is pretty hairless. And also, I'd like to
count. That's impossible.
No, it's not.
Do you shave it?
No. It's just naturally.
You wax it?
I'm one of the most hairless Jays you'll ever see.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I have Middle Eastern blood.
Well,
in me,
then that's
I
Chris.
Don't get it.
Chris, how does he deal with the shag?
Yeah, contract? I'll tell you what. He is very confused about your morbidly obese reason for wiping while standing.
I didn't say morbidly obese. I didn't say
a big guy.
I just said you're not small, and I'm thinking about moving the parts around.
Yeah, you're saying because he's a big guy, it's gonna be hard. It's gonna there's more stuff that's gonna like. Crowd in on him when he stands up, but like I'm a skinny guy and I do the exact same thing.
Well, that's why I want to know more. I want to know more. So
I don't arch the back. I don't need to.
So you sort of are handicapping yourself. I mean, by the way, Chase, when we started this,
I feel
this
like
podcast,
you're handicapping yourself when you sit
hold
down.
On.
Thank you,
Chase. When we started this podcast, I did not know that we were going to be spending 20 minutes on wiping assholes. I apologize, but there's no stopping now.
I know we got to get in here.
So. Literally, that's what we're talking about them guiding to get in there. So Chris, so it just seems like it's handicapping because you have full access. Look, if I were doing a surgery, and the medical students had clamps and were pulling open the field so I could get access to things to say, do a cleansing, you know, if a
enema.
Oh my God. No. Oh. We do an IND. You're trying to, you know, clean the tissue out. And then I said, no, let it just come together. I'll kind of do the best I can. Just let the whole thing fold up, and I'll kind of get what I can out of there, as opposed to spreading the field so we can get a good look at it and full access to everything. You see what I'm saying?
Drew, we're not doing surgery here. Your hand is going to keep it open while you do the job.
Everybody,
regardless of how
this is Chris's first appearance on Dr. Drew After Dark, and it is an A+.
Oh,
A+, Chris. A+.
Chris is the moral compass of the studio.
Chris gets
if Chris
an
is on your
plus.
Side, you're on the winning side.
A+. I understand, but so Chris, let's help at least Catherine understand why you would do that. That's her question. Why not go for the full access and lean a little bit? Why make it more difficult to yourself, or make the case that it's somehow easier?
It is 10 times easier.
Because
it's you're in a more comfortable position,
okay.
And B, you have all angles available to you to however you want to angle your arm. Like you can go in from behind, you can go it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Like you don't have this obstacle in your way that you have to work around just to get into the butthole.
You're talking about the toilet seat.
Yes.
Okay.
I am buying this argument.
I'm with him so far. I'm with him. And any issues? You know, have you found any pitfalls with this technique? Anything that you have to watch out for that the average seating wiper would not be aware of?
I haven't had any problems that I haven't had sitting down.
Who uses a little...
Because I've tried sitting down as well, and it's definitely not more comfortable.
Who uses a wet wipe or a, you know, what they call them, chucks or something? And who uses a little water? Anybody? You use a bidet. Anything else necessary for anybody?
I use a bidet. And also, I don't know if this also makes me weird, or maybe I do this because I'm a bigger guy, but I also fold my toilet paper instead of scrunching it up like an animal.
What do you do
you
with
what?
It? You fold it?
I fold it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay.
Okay, so that's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
I think you're it's dealer's choice. You know what I mean? It's dealer's choice. And by the time you get now, do you guys? Here we go.
Oh my
yes.
Are you guys mostly solid movers? I mean, things are pretty solid when they get through.
Or is there
a little motion?
Runny.
Yeah.
I mean, it depends. You know, like
on
Mondays it's a little runny.
Okay. Chris,
go crazy.
I'm guessing Chris
weekends.
Is pretty solid.
Yeah, they're solid for the most part.
Yeah, I'm
mean,
guessing.
if it's a wet one, it's going to be a mess regardless if you're sitting down or standing up.
So you tell yourself.
Oh, well, so I know myself.
First of all, slow clap for Chris, everybody. Yeah, Chris, there's a full round of applause. I thought Annie was the only one that could really hold his own with the brown back there. But Chris fully holds his own with the brown.
Wow.
So we tell Catherine, Chris, last thought is that her concerns and her dismay is unfounded. It's sort of a personal choice. And you would argue, not only is it a personal choice, there's advantages.
Exactly.
Okay. Catherine, I hope you're happy with that.
I get it.
But I do appreciate Catherine's question because did that send us in a direction?
I would say, Catherine, open up your mind and know that other people don't brown like you and that they're normal if they don't brown like you.
Okay.
Sorry, that was a little defensive. I felt a little aggression as it was coming out. I'm sorry.
I'm not quite sure what you even meant by that, dude. I don't even know you when you talk like that.
Job's upset.
I'm so upset. I'm so upset for someone saying I wipe like an idiot.
No idiot. No. I think you guys it should not feel defensive. It's just a little unusual. And when you, as a non-standing wiper, think about it, you think of these, like, it seems like a problem.
So Hold on. Where are you getting your data from that it's unusual that people wipe standing up?
Send your emails to drdrewafterdark@gmail.com, and we will take a little tally.
A little poll.
Yeah, a little tally. Or is there someplace else, Nadav, you want them to go? You want them to go to?
Ooh, you know what? Go to the community tab. We're going to have a poll.
Okay.
And you could say whether or not you wipe standing up or sitting down.
Good.
I'm in the sitting down trend.
I'm sitting down too, but I'm not discriminatory.
I'm interested to see if girls do it standing up as well.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Maybe that's why Catherine was so upset. It's like such a violation of the female sensibility.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Chase, anything around there you want to pick off our list? You want to hear another voice message? One more maybe a TikTok before we go?
I wanted you to take a look at this Dr. Drew tattoo.
I was afraid you were going to say that. So there is a Dr. Jean's tattoo. Hey, Hitler, well, look at that.
Can you believe that?
Look at that.
I got a sneak peek before you got here.
I do have, this is from, we have an email from him. Keep my tight, Dr. Drew for governor. Chris, he must be a Californian. Chris, I am moved beyond belief. Do me a favor. We need to put the Rational Revolution in there too, just to kind of
complete. You're telling him to add on to this?
I think I am. I think I am because I really want the full effect. And I know that, listen, anybody that's committed enough to your mom's house to do this, but I'm distracted by something, everybody. What is it? The dancer in the background on the wall there with penis?
Oh.
Do you see that?
I do.
Or does it say Pernod or something?
Penis.
Penis. Pernis. Do you see that?
Pornis?
Pornis.
That's an E-R. That's a P-E-R-N-I-S. There's a poster on the wall, and it's kind of weirdly like a doctor's office. So it must be the tattoo parlor, right? He must have just had this done, no?
No, this looks like it's scabbing a little bit. I was actually about to ask, does that look like staph infection right under your
left
forearm?
Under my forearm?
I'm on the left.
I'm looking.
Bottom.
Under my left arm or his left?
Yeah, right there.
It's funny, you know, I'm colorblind, and so I can't see anything there. Mm. It just looks like a well-heeled. It looks normal to me. So, Chris, we love you. I love you. I can't believe you did this.
Well, you know what I love about Chris, too, is that he's such an OG fan of this show specifically. Can you tell what shirt he has on?
Yeah.
Anal Begins After 50.
It's the very first shirt we did.
Which was the OK sign.
Yeah, the OK. Nothing bigger than the OK
sign. So, Chase, I'm so embarrassed. But you had to go down this path. So somebody, you know, when I was being indoctrinated, it's not mince words. This whole thing has been an indoctrination for me.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe we talk about these things.
Yeah.
But somehow I'm here. It's a weird, talk about slippery slopes. That's why I worried about you going down slippery slopes. Because I'm certainly falling down on myself. But early on in the show, they were asking me about putting things in the bum or something. And I said, look, generally, just the OK sign. Nothing bigger than the OK sign in the 80s. Yeah, that's just a rule, good rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thumb can go.
And
the
this
okay
is
sign,
anal after 50.
Well, that's a different thing.
Okay, that's different.
My wife said that.
Oh, how
my
fun.
My wife on Christina's podcast.
Yeah.
How fun. So will you be able to generate any stand-up from this appearance?
Oh my gosh, I didn't even think about
Wouldn't that be fun?
Be fun.
Create some stuff. And
I think I'll have to.
What you were actually experiencing as opposed to what you told us you were experiencing. Yeah. You can actually speak your mind in front of the audience. So I don't have enough thanks to give Chris. I literally feel humbled. That's
really?
Humbled. Yeah. And I don't think anybody's ever done that for me.
There's more tattoos.
People have always asked me that. My first impulse is I want to give you a referral to a laser tattoo removal service, which I'd be happy to provide for you. That's my most deepest instinct when I look at that. Like, let me show you how you can take that off if this becomes a problem.
Yeah.
But I am, Chris, I am moved beyond expression. Literally. So we thank
another
you,
another slow clap for Chris.
I think it's even like a... This is another Chris.
Yeah.
This is lots Chris's, of applause this is Chris's Chris. Show. All Chris's and Catherine's.
Yeah,
you guys
Kathy
made this
06.
Show. What's that?
Autumn Kathy 06.
And oh, yeah, Autumn Kathy 06.
There
were
so many Kathy's.
That's another
Chris.
Kathy. You're right.
Yeah.
So Catherine's and Kathy's and Chris's. To, oh, my. It's over.
That's it.
But I'll have to come visit you on the set of...
100%. We'll make that happen.
If I could bring one of my sons particularly, he would, I mean, he would die.
Really?
He would die.
We'll make this happen.
Oh, my God.
How exciting. So, we should get you on the show.
Oh, my God. That's too much. Yeah. I can't take it.
I'm going to put in a word.
My God. That would be beyond. And they can have some real fun with me, too, as you see.
Oh, yeah. So, oh, they can have fun. So,
you see, I go with it, as they say.
Oh, wow.
Everybody, we appreciate it. Chase, what's coming up?
I'm on tour with Christina till the end of the year through January right now.
That's going to be fun. Have you toured before with her?
Mm-hmm. We were on tour and then the pandemic happened.
What? The what?
So, you know, the world shut down for a bit.
Is this a tour got a name?
It's the Ride or Die Tour.
That sounds right.
Fantastic.
Something like that.
Well, that was the one the tattoo was Ride or Die. Yeah. So that must be it.
It was the Ride or Die Tour before the pandemic, so I think it's the same name.
Right. Not F My Stoma?
No,
that one.
So,
by the way, the F My Stoma brought great joy to some of my stoma patients and friends.
Oh,
they thought it was the greatest thing to sort of make fun of that because it's
F My Stoma.
Yeah,
brought joy.
It brought joy to stoma patients.
Oh boy,
because a friend of mine who had a stoma briefly, because it's often taken back down again, right? But that her husband wanted to continue having sex with her was such a sign of how into her he is and how much he loved her and all
that. I get that.
Yeah. And so if you really question your spouse's motivation, get a stoma.
Then you'll know.
Then you'll know. And we now have a thing like he literally said, I don't care if you have two stomas. In fact, I think it's my wife.
I would
still have sex with you if you had two stomas.
Oh, what a guy.
Yeah, that's nice. I distinguish myself with things like that. So we will leave it at that. Everyone, Chase, anything else you want to say? Website, Twitter, TikTok?
ChaseO'Donnell.com. Yeah. Social media is @Chase_O'Donnell. And I just want to say thank you for having me and showing me all these wonderful things
today.
It is.
You're welcome to your mom's house.
Yeah, thank you. Wow.
It's a lovely place. It is sort of like that magical Disney world you always imagined coming to when you were a kid, isn't it?
Yeah, it was like that.
We'll see you next time.
Thanks.
All conversations and information exchanged during participation in the Dr. Drew After Dark podcast or interaction on the DrDrew.com website is intended for educational and entertainment purposes only. Do not confuse this with treatment or physician medical advice or direction per se. You must always follow your medical professional's advice and direction. Nothing on these podcasts or posted on this site supplements or supersedes the relationship and direction of your medical caretakers. Please understand, I am not playing the role of physician in this environment per se. I'm educating. I am a licensed physician with specialty boards in American Board of Internal Medicine and American Board of Addiction Medicine.